Very good afternoon to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 25th February 2018, Sunday at Wu Ping Jing Sa. We are having our 68th lesson of the Six Patriarch Black Palm Sutta. But before we begin the puja, I'd like to wish everybody a happy and maybe meaningful Chinese New Year. So may this New Year bring about good condition for you to progress along the path of Dhamma, and also wishing everybody good health, good life. Then hopefully, I got a feeling that this year is going to be another very, very auspicious year for Kayanamitas, because it's a rare phenomenon to like Miss Lee send over, and I think Vivian's neighbor also have the iron tree, you all call Tia Su. It bloomed for the first time after 20 over years. It is a very rare occurrence, but when it happened, all those plants that are old and are, they were blossomed together. So this phenomenon is very rare. That's why it's recorded in the ancient Chinese tradition or culture. If you can witness the Tie Su Kai Hua, means the flowering of the iron tree, is indeed a very rare occasion. And a lot of people say it's supposed to bring a lot of blessing. But what I want you to understand is it's not that symbol of the Tie Su Kai Hua alone. It could be an auspicious year, but you don't have the Dhamma, you don't have the virtue, it may not be auspicious for you. So for us, because we have the Dhamma, so if we coincide with such a occasion, it will bring about great blessing. So hopefully you can make use of this for your own salvation, progress, and whatever that you want to develop through your pure wish or aspiration. This is a very unique year. Even last year I started sharing and inform you all that the nature can feel this year, this retreat, a lot of things will happen. Many Kayanamitta will transform, and the Dhamma will flourish again, and it will become very different. So this is just a New Year reminder or New Year message for all Kayanamitta to take heed. Then even those who are not around, you can listen to the recording, then determine with faith, then diligently, with sincerity, cultivate. What you need is just these three simple virtues: faith, sincerity, and diligence. The Dhamma, the path will be there. Everything will unfold. You don't have to rush. You don't have to worry about what your thought tell you. Nature will unfold. If you are sincere, you have faith, everything will come your way. Then hold on to this cultivation steadfastly, means diligently. Do not have doubt, have faith. Then be sincere. Just walk this way sincerely. Cultivate out of love for living beings. To develop all this understanding so that it can be a, your form and mind can be a blessing to all. So all this will bring forth the condition for you to become beautiful. Okay, now we will compose our mind, develop the faith, sadhana, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Pho. Namo Guansing Pusa. Namo Guansing Pusa. Namo Guansing Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava บุตตังภะคะวันตังอภิวาเทมิสวากาโตภะคะวะตาธัมโมธัมมังนมัสสามิสุปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆสังฆังนมามินะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะนะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะนะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะบุตตังสรณังกัจฉามิธัมมังสรณังกัจฉามิสังฆังสรณังกัจฉามิทุติยัมปิธัมมังสรณังกัจฉามิทุติยัมปิสัมมังสรณังกัจฉามิทุติยัมปิสังฆังสรณังกัจฉามิตติยัมปิบุตตังสรณังกัจฉามิตติยัมปิธัมมังสรณังกัจฉามิตติยัมปิสังฆังสรณังกัจฉามิปานาติปาตาเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิอาดินาดานาเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิกามิสุมิจฉาจาราเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิมุสาวาทาเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิสุราเมรยามัจจาปะมาดะทานะเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิสาธุสาธุสาธุเกเลสเปรสเปกตุติปะจามะปะทังปุจเจมิธัมมังปุจเจมิสังฆังปุจเจมิโอเค you can be seated then just relax body and mind then we can commence our six patriarcha sutta class okay turn to page 1 verse for openingThe sutta. Verse for opening a sutta. The unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Okay, we will continue from where we stop. We are at chapter page 330. Bishu, is it Fang Pian? The Mandarin word. Yeah, is it the correct pronunciation? Bishu. Here the English is Fang Pian. Correct? Fang Pian, okay.One day, the master wanted to wash the robe which he had inherited, but there was no clear stream nearby. He walked about 2 miles behind the temple, where he saw good energy revolving in a dense group of trees. He shook his staff, stuck it in the ground, and a spring bubbled up and formed a pool. The master walked about two miles behind the temple, where he found a luxuriant grove filled with tall trees and good vibration. People who have opened their five eyes and obtained the six spiritual penetration or power can tell at a glance the geomantic properties of any particular piece of land. So when the master planted his thin staff in the ground, the nine metal rings which hung from the head of his staff echoed through the wood, and the spring gushed forth to form a clear, pure pool. The public washing stream is about a third of a mile behind Nanhua Temple. Whether this present stream is the same source that was used during the sixth patriarch's time is uncertain. This is according to Xuanhua's commentary. Then we continue on with the sutra. As he knelt to wash his robe on the rock, suddenly a monk came up and bowed before him, saying, "I am Fang Pian, a native of Shisu. A while ago I was in India, where I visited the great master Bodhidharma. He told me to return to China immediately, saying, the orthodox Dhammayi treasury and the Sangati robe, which I inherited from Mahakasapa, has been transmitted to the sixth generation of Tao Si, of Sao Zhou. Go there and pay your reverence." So Fang Pian had come from afar, hoping to see the rope and bow that his master transmitted. The master showed them to him and asked, "Superior one, what work do you do?" "I'm good at sculpturing," he replied. Keeping a straight face, the master said, "Then sculpture something for me to see." Fang Pian was bewildered, but after several days, he completed a lifelike image of the patriarch, 7 inches high and wonderful in every detail. The master laughed and said, "You only understand the nature of sculpture. You do not understand the nature of the Buddha." Then the master stretched out his hand and rubbed the crown of Fang Pian's head, saying, "You will forever be a field of merits for gods and humans." The master rewarded him with a robe, which Fang Pian divided into 3 parts. One he used to wrap the sculpture. One he kept for himself, and the third he wrapped a palm leaf and buried in the ground, vowing, "In the future, when this robe is found again, I will appear in the world to be abbot here and restore this building." So there's a note. During the Song Dynasty, in the 8th year of the Chia Yu Rin period, means 1063 AD, while Bishu Wei Xian was repairing the hall, he excavated the earth and found the robe, which was like new. The image is at Kao Quan Temple, and those who pray before it obtain a quick response. So this was according to the sutra. Then we read the commentary. Thinking about it, Bodhidharma had long since died in China, but Bishu Fang Pian met him in India. That is not surprising, however, because to this day, no one knows exactly what happened to Bodhidharma. I will now tell you a true story. While I was living in Manchuria, I decided for various reasons to leave the home life and cultivate the way. The man I most respected was Huang Xiaoci, followed by the San Wong. San Xiao, Huang Xiaoci. When he was 28 years old, his mother died and he practiced filial piety by sitting beside her grave. He built a small hut out of scrap lumber to protect himself from the Manchuria cold and lived there for 3 years according to Confucian custom. When the first 3 years were up, he decided to stay for another 5 years. So in all, he practiced for 6 years. He decided to stay another 3 years, not 5 years. I better wear the spec. So 3 plus 3 is 6. During the second 3 year period, he did not speak, no matter who came. Every day he sat in his heart meditating and reciting the Diamond Sutra. Towards the end of the 6 years, he had a daydream in Qian and Kuang Ling Temple. Mountain. Qian and Kuang Ling Mountain. He thought there are cultivators who live for over 1,000 years. When I fulfill my filial obligation, I will go there to cultivate. The following morning during meditation, he heard a Dhamma protector say, "Today an important guest will visit you." He thought perhaps a great official was coming, and he waited till 10 o'clock when he saw a monk approaching wearing rough robes and carrying a bamboo stick. Fila San Wang did not speak out loud, but in his mind he wondered, "Where is he from?" The monk replied, "I am from Kuang Ling Mountain." Fila San Pai then thought, "What is his name?" The monk told him his name and added, "In the Ming Dynasty, I was a general, and later I left home to cultivate. We too have a coming affinity for one another. And so when I heard that you wanted to go to Kuang Ling Mountain, I felt I would advise you that the monk there cultivate solely for their own benefit. You, on the other, should cultivate for the good of the many. After you have finished your act of filial piety, build a temple right here and spread the Buddha Dhamma. Now, Fela San Wong haven't spoken to the monk, and yet the monk read the question in his mind. That shows that the monk has spiritual power of knowing others' thought and had obtained the 5 eyes and supernatural or 6 spiritual penetration. He said he was from the Ming Dynasty. Fela San Wong lived during the first year of the Republic. Some 300 years later, so you see that Bodhidharma could easily have been seen in South India several hundred years after his disappearance from China. That he met Fang Pian there and told him about the rope and the bath is a very ordinary matter, nothing strange at all. Bhikkhu Fang Pian knew how to make Buddha image. He carved them in wood and molded them in clay. The master very solemnly said to him, "Please capture another image for me to see." Caught off guard, Fang Pian just stood there in silence. But in a few days later, he had finished making a true image of the patriarch. It looked just like the master. The nose, ear, eyes, all the features were exactly right. It was a perfect likeness, right down to the finest detail. When the master saw the little statue of himself, he couldn't help but smile. "Fang Pian," he said, You may know how to model clay, but you don't know the Buddha nature. In any case, you should leave home in every life, become a bhikkhu, and act as a field of merits for humans and God. So this was the message given by the sixth Bhikkhu. So because of his earlier vow, so this was in the later part that happened. So according to Xuanhua, it could be linked to his vow earlier on. Okay, so this chapter we finish. Then we move on to the next chapter. This one, how to pronounce? Master Walun. Walun's verse. Okay, one bhikkhu was reciting Master Walun's verse. Walun has the talent to stop the 100 thoughts. Facing situation, his mind won't move. Bohi grows day by day. When the master heard it, he said, "This verse shows no understanding of the mind ground, and to cultivate according to it will increase one's bondage." Then he spoke this verse. So this one was a good one. Hui Ning has got no talent. To stop the 100 thought facing situation, his mind often moves. Then how can Bohi grow? So this is to counter the other poem. So we go on to read the commentary. The name of the reciter of Walun's verse is not given. Perhaps he has no name, or perhaps he didn't want to be famous. Dayan Master Walun could cut off his thought, but Walun himself, the cutter of thought, still remained. Thus he has fallen into the second or third position. He was not in the first position. Upon hearing Walun's verse, the great master replied, "I haven't got a single talent, nor even the thought of cutting off thought. My mind responds in a natural way. Who cares whether Bohi grows or not?" Here he expressed the same principle as in the verse he wrote while still a layman at Huangmei Temple. Originally, there is nothing. Means, 本来无有. Originally, there is not one thing. Where can the dust alight? 何处热尘埃? The absolute is pure. What need is there to dust it all? So those who understand the true mind ground, they cultivate differently. So this is a very important understanding, a very important message from the master, Hui Ning. You have to go back to the first poem that Bhikkhu recite, which is Walun's verse. So he started off by saying Walun has talent, means he's a very talented person. Then to stop the 100 thoughts facing situation, his mind won't move. Means what is he doing? What is he doing? His mind don't move, means what? He want to stop the 100 thoughts, means the mind right thought that arise. What will happen to him? Means he is, what is he doing? He is suppressing the thought from arising, do you understand? So what did he use? He used energy. That's why he used jhana and all those things. He used the samatha, means he fixed the thought. He go into samatha, he go into concentration. Then he thought by doing that, Bohi will grow day by day. So for those who understand, they know this is wrong cultivation. The real cultivation is very simple. You remember what I told you? The untrained mind is heedless, think a lot. So when thought arises, let it arise. Why do you want to suppress it? Why do you want to control it? Why are you not peaceful? Why does the heedless thinking arise? How does thought arise? So when you understand all this, you will understand what Huining is trying to teach all these cultivators. Because to Huining, he doesn't worry about the thought. Initially, thought is just thought. Arise and pass away. Dependent originating. Condition arising. So if you have the heedless thinking mind, heedlessness will condition all this thinking. Where you lack the opposite five, which is the spiritual faculty. So this is where meditation come in. Like we have gone through many times. I write it on the board slowly so that you can follow. Like I said, the untrained mind is heedless, think a lot. Meaning, think a lot. Oh, no wonder. The paper that's supposed to stabilize it has loosened.
Okay.
It's okay already. Okay. So most people has this problem because the mind that is not trained, it will think a lot. And the other reason why it think a lot is because it lack. Because it lacks the opposite. Five spiritual faculty. So when you come to understand this, the mind that is not trained is heedless, thinks a lot. And the reason being, it lacks the opposite five spiritual faculty. So what must you do? What must you do? You have to... Here is the answer. You have to train. Solution is... to... train the mind. To be... heedful. So, to train the mind to be heedful, or to cultivate the five spiritual faculty. To overcome the mental hindrance. So this is how you should understand it and develop the cultivation. So to train the mind, you need to use some skillful means, like mind sweeping method followed by metta, to decondition the heedless thinking, so that this mind does not behave like before. But if you do that, it's temporary. It's not a permanent solution. It's not a fix. So what you need to do is you need to move on to the actual one, to cultivate the five spiritual faculty. When the five spiritual faculty is there, it will automatically overcome the five mental hindrances. This one is a permanent solution, permanent fix. Yeah. So when you decondition the heedless thinking, means you decondition the heedless thinking mind so that it is calm, it is peaceful, it is aware. Then you stabilize it so that sati stabilizes. And this is how from there you cultivate the spiritual faculty of sati. And this is very, very important and very useful. But most cultivators don't understand this. So what they did is, cultivator's mistake. Do you know what they do or not? Because this mind think a lot, so what do? They try to suppress and control the thought. They try to suppress and control the thought. So how do they do it? We are using methods and techniques. Two. Focus and fix. The mind so that the thought cannot move. So the method and technique, you're supposed to be mindful of it, but they go and focus. That is where they go wrong. They go and focus. Then they fix it so that it won't move. And this is what they call one-pointedness. One-pointedness. One-pointedness of mind. And this is what samatha is all about. Samatha. Jhana. Concentration. It's all about. So all of the Hindu teaching before the Buddha, they go into object of meditation. They got 40 object of meditation for you to focus, to control. to fix your mind. So this is where they went wrong. They failed to understand the only way to bring about the understanding is to develop the training of the mind to be heedful, to be aware, to be mindful, then stabilize it so that the spiritual faculty can come in. If you don't understand this, you will do what they tell you. That's why you go to all the retreat, all the meditation center. Most of them, especially during the earlier days, they either ask you to focus, concentrate, or not using thought. So all this is thought-based meditation. These are all thought-based. Meditation. So thought-based meditation will keep you within the field of thought. You will go into energy field. You will not be able to come out of it. So this one will lead to energy field. This is the first mistake, and this is most common. Yeah? They try to suppress and control the thought. Then the second mistake is we are verbalizing. Yeah. They go and verbalize during meditation. Yeah. Verbalizing. So this verbalizing, although they didn't focus, they didn't concentrate, what they do is they ask you to note. To note. Like the traditional Burmese method. Not thinking, 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 pain, 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 and all those things. So when you don't have the clear understanding, you will be doing all this so-called meditation, and they label it as they ask you to not and they labor this cultivation as vipassana. So when they label it as vipassana, people become gullible. Then people very interested in doing this type of meditation. Where this lead to vipassana, means insight, knowledges, insight, wisdom. But not knowing that vipassana is not a method, not a technique. Vipassana is a understanding. And you develop the wisdom and the understanding, you can insight into phenomena and awaken to the three universal characteristics. It's not a method. It's not what you do that bring about vipassana. No amount of doing can bring about vipassana. Vipassana is an understanding. When the mind understands, it will awaken. That's why whatever training you do, when you have mindfulness, when you have the silent mind, when the condition is right, when you have developed the second turning very deeply, means the contemplative wisdom. When you have contemplated all the Dhamma until very, very clear, then when the condition arises, all of a sudden, it will awaken. Yeah. So that is what Vipassana is all about. We is the three universal characteristics. Passana is the insight into the three universal characteristics. So this one is not a method, not a technique. You cannot train to do Vipassana. Vipassana is a direct seeing, an awakening. When the condition is fulfilled, when the contemplative wisdom is there, then all of a sudden the condition just trigger off the awakening. And when the mind awakens, it is without thought, beyond mind. That's the reason why the true awakening is not what people think. So avoid these two very serious mistakes. No amount of focusing, concentration, via suppression of thought, even you can develop very strong, very powerful energy field or meditative state. Like you are a fantastic meditator with all the psychic and all the things. But without wisdom, you are still trapped. You still don't know how to develop the understanding of life. You still don't know who you are, what you are. You still don't know how you function as a human being. How your mind follow dependent origination. How it developed the wisdom to tell you clearly that the form and mind is not real. It is not you. So that delusion can never arise with all this method and technique, with all this energy field. This is just a conditioned state and experience that you come to experience when you focus and concentrate. And this is what psychic jhana, energy field, is all about. Then this one, they call it pure vipassana. They don't focus, they don't concentrate, but they go and verbalize, they go and labor. So they arise the thought. That's why they cannot enter sati. So they don't know how to develop the silent mind. So the real training of the mind, to be heedful, this one is very important, to realize the silent mind. And this silent mind is actually your true mind, or your meditative mind. True or meditative mind. That's why Hui Ning's teaching is very profound. He takes you direct to the true mind, the silent mind, so that you don't have to do all this method, technique, and noting and verbalization. Yeah. Then you progress very fast. When thought arises, let it arise. Don't suppress, don't control, silent to observe. Then develop the understanding, the wisdom. Why the thought arise? They arise and stir your mind and create all this duality is because you don't have right view. You have wrong view, sakkayadity, self-delusion. So you need to constantly straighten your view. That's why every moment of consciousness, when you are in the midst of life, you need to be mindful, you need to be heedful, ever mindful. Then only you can see how you have been deceived by the phenomenal world, the condition arising phenomenon. Because you fail to understand their universal characteristic. So when you understand, you straighten your view, then you are not deluded, then you will come to a great awakening, like winning. Thing is just the way it is, cannot be otherwise. follow nature's law, dependent originating, the law of mind, law of karma. You cannot resist or go against nature. You cannot fight against the reality, what is. You cannot want things your way. So when you have that understanding, when you can see things as they are, people are just the way they are, then the world is the world. If I can accept this reality, means I have right view, then I'm at peace. Means I have straightened my view. In the past, you can't. Because everything you see, you react to it. Because you have your own version of right and wrong, good and bad. Then your craving make you like that. That's why you are conditioned by your views and opinion, your wrong view, to react and to stir. Where you believe you exist, you are real. And this creates the egoic mind, the personality. And this will make that being, the individual that has this self-delusion, selfish, greedy, possessive, having all this covetousness, desire. Then they will grasp, cling and hold on to things, believing that they are real, believing that they can own and possess things. And then when things don't go their way, they get angry, emotional, unhappy. That's why all these evil roots of greed, hatred, they will arise. Then when you cannot understand, when you project your thought, the doubt will create the fear, the anxiety, the sorrow, the lamentation. This is how the whole mess of suffering comes to be. So without right view, to straighten your view, so that you do not deludedly stir and react and become like that, you cannot free your mind. You have to be silent, mindful, to understand all this, to trace the origination factor, how you become what you are, and how through this lack of understanding, self-delusion, you entangle yourself. Then to free is very simple. When you understand all this, you don't have to do anything. You're just silent, relaxed, aware. And the mind will slow down and return to its original state of stillness. That is what meditation is all about. Don't go and do. Wherever there is a doer, that doer is the thought, and the thought is active. When the thought is active, you cannot be silent. They will obscure your silent mind, your true mind, your true nature. So whatever doing is by the thought, and the thought is the one that will obscure your true nature, your true mind, make you heedless, think a lot, emotional. So these are like the clouds that will cloud your nature from shining forth, from having the ability to see things as they are. And this is what meditation is all about. So that's the reason why when you look at Hui Ning's advice, you go to the page 336. This one is what Xianhua, through his commentary, has made it easier for you to understand. He said, I haven't a single talent. Means he no need to be talented in anything. He's an illiterate. He got no talent. Nor even the thought of cutting off thought. Do you understand? He don't even have a thought that I must suppress the thought, cut off the thought, or control the thought. What for? Because that is not real. So he just let it be. Then my mind responds in a natural way. Natural way means what? Echo and flow. Follow nature. Nature like that, condition like that, things will be like that. That's why he is always at peace. And whenever he is at peace, he got no problem. Then what happened? Yeah? Who cares whether Bohi grows or not? Bohi is wisdom. But cultivators are so interested in whether they progress or not, they have wisdom or not. This is due to the thought. The thought will tell you all this. That's why you want people to confirm you, to certify you. then you try very hard. And who is doing all this? The thought. So when you cultivate, don't try to know. Forget about all these things. Just do what you have to do. Need to train your mind? Train. Then stabilize the mindfulness. Develop the spiritual faculty. Then this will allow you to understand spiritual teaching. Then through that silence, you will awaken. Then when you awaken, you will understand all this. Then why you bother whether I got bohi or not? Whether I got wisdom or not? Because that comes from the thought, the egoic mind. The one that is awakened, enlightened, will know the form and mind is not them. But when they awaken, the wisdom is connected to the silent mind within that nature. And because this nature is also connected to the form and mind that you come through karmic, that's why this form and mind with this wisdom, you can say is enlightened. It's no longer deluded. But that fellow is not you, understand not? So why you want to bother whether you got bohi or don't have bohi? Because that one is a form and mind. The mundane mind trying to question, trying to have answer. The true wisdom comes from awakening. That's why the wisdom is pachetang, can be realized by the wise, each for themselves. Means the one that has the wisdom connected, that form and mind will know, it will understand. No need certification, no need anybody to confirm you. Your own form and mind connected, when it awakens, it will understand. It's just like sati, you train, you do. Until sati arise, you will know what sati is. If you have not done it, it's still a knowledge, a dhamma. Then you have various type of idea what sati is. Then you cultivate, look forward to that state. Then you imagine, I think this is what the Buddha meant, this is what Brother Teo meant. Oh, I can be mindful through all that. And nothing to do with all these things. When you really in that state, no question on, that form of mind will understand what that thing is. Then it will be very surprised. No wonder human being cannot do it. Because they have not realized it. They have not seen it. They're still arguing over it. So cultivation is not about knowledge. Not about what they call a lot of talent or skill. Nothing to do with that. When you understand, that is what wisdom is all about. The moment you understand, your mind is free. No need to do anything. All the method and technique is not required, technically. But most people cannot. Without method and technique to start, they find it so difficult to meditate. Like a lot of these new people come, they tell me the same thing. But till the moment I close my eye, I sleep. Then there are a lot say, I think a lot. The thought keep on arising. Then I ask, so what must you do? It's all in the transcript book. You should read through them and develop the understanding so that this is clear to you. And when this is clear to you, your meditation will not go wrong. You will progress. That's why this retreat, the focus is teaching you how to train your mind to just silent, aware. No need to know. Then through the stability of mindfulness, you can develop the daily mindfulness until you are mindful most of the time in the midst of life. That if in the retreat you can do it, you must stabilize it until your mind enters sati. When your mind enters sati, the form and mind will know. Everything you see, you hear, you smell, you taste, you tactile feel or think is all in sati. Because your mind is already in sati. It's a flow. It's no more the mundane mind thinking and doing all those things. Then you realize every movement, every action, the body and mind move as one. And you hardly think. You only arise a thought when you need to. And most of the time you are silent, quiet, peaceful. You hardly got any thought when you are in the continuous awareness situation. Okay. Any question on this? Is it clear? Where's the wireless mic? Oh, sorry. While I have a drink, you all can maybe just raise your hand. Miss Lee will pass you the mic. We still got half an hour before the meditation. It's just 4 o'clock. So this poem, get to understand it clearly. It will help you. So you don't have to be educated. You don't have to have talent. Even an illiterate can awaken. So why you look down upon yourself? Especially, it's okay. Don't worry. Yeah, this is natural phenomenon. No, it's okay. You go ahead. Your question, yes.
Yeah, Brother Teo.
Yes.
Number two, via verbalization is not the methods and techniques that you are talking about.
No, because the method and technique is to focus, you understand? Based on 40 objects of meditation, they got the kasina and all those 40 meditation objects. Even including anapanasati. When you don't understand anapanasati, you know what they do or not? They go and focus on the tip of the nostril. The instruction is to be mindful of the in and out breath. But what did they tell you to do? Focus on the breath. So they go into absorption. Then some teach you how to feel the feeling between the air that goes in and out and the nose. Understand or not? He said that feeling, feel it. Then fix it there. This is totally nothing to do with anapana sati. Because anapana is in and out breath. Sati is mindfulness. You're supposed to be mindful of the in and out breath. Why you go and focus, concentrate and feel the feeling? For what? Do you understand? So the first mistake is they suppress and control the thought via using method and technique. I use the word to focus and fix the thought so that the thought cannot arise. The one-pointedness. See? I put here fix means one-pointedness of mind. Samatha, jhana, or concentration. Whereas there is another group that say they don't focus. They don't concentrate. They note. And they call it vipassana. You understand? This one, they don't understand what they are doing. Because this one, you verbalize means you create thought. Understand not? You start to note, you start to label, you create more thought. How can you be silent? And they don't know what is meditation. So that's why they keep on doing this without understanding. Then they slow everything down. When they slow everything down, they become very calm, very peaceful. So they thought that is the way to meditate. But when you slow everything down, it is no longer the natural state when you go out into society, when you return to society to live your life. Because everything within life is at the pace where society evolves. You cannot be applying your so-called verbalization type of vipassana in the office. Hearing, intending to walk, I tell you, your boss will give you a love letter and fire you. You are being crazy. You need to act fast, move. And yet you are mindful. That is what meditation is all about. It's not to slow down the action. You're supposed to slow down your thinking until it doesn't think. You do the opposite. You go and slow everything down, your action, your movement. That is not what meditation is all about. The Buddha say, under the first category of foundation of mindfulness, kaya anupassana, after you train your mind to have sati, anapanasati, you're supposed to be mindful of the four postures. You remember? Then, sati sampajana means mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action, all movement in the present moment. You're supposed to do all these things. You're not supposed to focus, concentrate, and go and verbalize. He never said that. He says standing aware, walking aware. Everything is aware. Then bending, turning, stretching, all aware. That's why he never say, ask you to know or try to know. When you just aware, keep on doing the awareness, the mind cannot think. You anchor the mind, the awareness, to your kaya, to your movement. Your breath is one aspect of kaya. Your heartbeat, your vibration within your body, including your rising and falling of the abdomen, they are one aspect of kaya. You're supposed to be mindful of it. You don't go and verbalize it. That's why if you just silence your mind and just allow the movement of the abdomen to develop the awareness, then it's similar to anapanasati. Then that one will train you to be aware, mindful. And then you don't go wrong. But when you're supposed to develop that, if you don't understand what you are doing, then every time you think you know this rising and falling, even with the silent mind, you think you are doing vipassana. You are dead again. Because this is just to train the mind to be ever mindful. And what is heedfulness? Heedfulness is ever mindful to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is the Noble Eightfold Path. You're supposed to use it to contemplate, reflect, and cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. But you never do it. You every time go to retreat, sit, and note the rising falling. That is delusion. That is being gullible. That's why when you don't understand what you are doing in the name of meditation, you get caught in all this. Can follow, huh? So with this, I hope by now most of you will not fall into the wrong approach. The real meditation is so simple. Like Hui Ning said, no need to do anything. Just silent, relax, accord and flow. Then everything will fall back to its natural state. Relax, silent. No need to know. Because this is your original state of mind before the stirring, before the mental hindrance come and make it heedless. It was already that silent mind. Like a baby, newborn. No thought, nothing. It's just pure consciousness, pure awareness. That's why they are not what they call cunning. Understand? The baby don't have deceitfulness, cunningness. Then they don't have memory. That's why they don't have views and opinion and conditioning, nothing. Their mind is so pure. That's why they are so peaceful, hungry, cry. When fed, sleep. That is what the normal mind is supposed to be. But because this mind is trapped inside this physical body, so even the baby will know when they pee or what. Because it's wet, make them uncomfortable. That's why they cry. Then when they are hungry, they need food, they also cry. Because the consciousness is trapped inside. It's a natural response. So that you know the body needs attention. That's why sometimes if something not right inside there, got wind or what, or got fear, they will cry. Understand? Then when they cry, the parent will worry. Then I remember how my mother treat. My mother know, because he experienced, he gave birth to 9 or 10 of us. And he said, don't worry. He take the oh hong yu, remember? The oh hong yu. He pour a bit on the hand, then he rub and make it hot, then stomach there. Roll. Then after that, the gas all come out. The baby okay already. Can sleep already. Then sometimes they just give the baby this one. When there is fear, sometimes thunder, very loud. then the baby develop this type of fear, but they don't know what it is. So they will go to the Chinese medicine shop. My father owns a medical shop. He will go and get the chai kang yi, the green wax type. Then he grind, make into water, then let the baby drink. And after that, sleep very well. That's how they know, through experience, through knowledge passed down from the elders. But not all the advice are correct. Some are superstition. You cannot believe them. Some they go and ask medium, then burn all the fua, then mix that thing with the water or Chinese tea, then ask the what they call baby or the kid to drink. You sometimes cannot trust all this type of thing. Unless there is legitimacy, there is understanding behind. Then sometimes it's the faith that you have. That's why sometimes they say after they take, they feel better. So if your faith is there, you will feel better. Then sometimes it's the non-human trying to help. Because some of these medium, they got good intention. They allow their body to be taken over by these deities, or what they call non-humans. So some of these deities got good intention. They want to help people. That's why they come in the form of spirit. They enter the body of the medium. But they are also like normal human beings, not enlightened. That's why they only do what they think they understand. So it's no different from you going to see all those so-called quack doctors. But they themselves are also not free. But they got certain skill which they believe they can help people. So that's why you go and look for all these, they call it talented people, like the Titta or whatever. They have certain gift from the past. So they can heal you. Like PG went to see one before, is it? And she got herself healed. And a lot of people got themselves healed. But the Buddha said, don't go and get involved with non-human, because you don't know what they are up to. Sometimes they demand certain things from you. So if you go to the wrong non-human, you get big problem. Even in our Chinese culture, you heard of it before. Those who try to get empat ekor from the non-human, they say near banana tree, got this type of lady spirit died. You go and ask for phone number, very accurate one. But after that, they demand in return. You have to promise them certain things. That's why there's a lot of problem. So the Buddha's advice is very easy. Follow his advice to avoid all evil. Good. Purify the mind, share merit, transfer merit. So take care of karma. You don't have to depend on all these things for your good life. Your good life depends on your karma. That's why more important. Take care of karma. Yeah. It doesn't mean all these things that our forefathers do, the tradition, they are not useful. No, some of them are very useful. I must admit, some of them are very useful. And I saw how it benefited my mother too. She has a lot of faith in deities and Kuan Yin. Then he used to go and see medium too. But because my mother has good heart, good nature, that's why some of these non-human, they actually help her. So different time, different condition, you do different things. But when you have the Dhamma, you don't need all this. You will understand what is the real important things that you have to do. Because if karma is the one that is almost solely responsible for the way your life is, why don't you just take care of karma? Finish. No need to go and do all those things, like meditation. Why you go and do all this method, technique, thought-based meditation and waste all your time? You straight away develop the understanding and silence your mind and go to your true mind. The moment you're silent, all these mental hindrance the duality, the stirring of the mind, all cease. When they cease, means there is no more mental hindrance to hinder your mind. True or not? True or not? Then your mind will enter sati. Understand or not? That's how easy meditation is. When you don't stir, don't create like and dislike or aversion towards the feeling, the pain. You know? When you are at peace, there is no mental hindrance. So nothing to hinder you from entering the meditative state. That's how sati come about, take over. Then when you just allow the thought to be, over time, it will slow down and cease. Then you experience that silence, that stillness. That is the silent mind. That is what meditation is all about. No need to do anything. Just relax, silent, and allow things to be, and allow it to return to its natural state. Then stabilize that. No need to do any other thing. Then when that one stabilizes, your sati become very different. You stabilize until your mind enters sati, until the silent mind is all the time with you. And that is the ultimate training. Then when you come out of your meditation, you will come to realize that this mind is so different now. Everything it experiences is in sati. Then as you extend it to your daily life, it's the same. Every moment of seeing, there is sati. Hearing, smell, taste, tactile, there is the arising of thought. You can be aware of them. And when you have that type of heedful mind, wisdom will keep on arising. You will understand many things on your own. The former mind will understand. Then you will know what heedful living is all about. The big difference between a heedful mind and a heedless mind. But the two are so different. Okay, Manya? Do you have any other question? No? Good. Anybody else? We still got another 10 minutes. At least today we cover 2 chapters, huh? So don't try to control thought, don't try to suppress thought. Sometimes when you meditate, the focusing, the concentration come by itself, means you have done it from the past. Never mind, let it develop. If you know how to do it naturally, let it develop. Then the key thing is to remember the 4 support. The 4 support for meditation. Relax into every mind state that arises, then maintain silent, aware, for as long as you can. Technically, it's 24 hours. You can be aware 24 hours, you are beautiful. And this state can be realized. Then finally, trust your nature to do. No more thought. No more mind doing. So the first 2 support is very important. When the concentration or samadhi develop, allow it to be relaxed into it, then it will become more and more refined. Like anapanasati. Remember, I go to you. When your mindfulness become continuous, when you are absorbed into that continuous mindfulness, it will also give you the same type of feeling like those who do jhana. But this is a more purer form. It's not focusing, it's not concentration. There is no suppression of thought. But because of the continuous mindfulness, you will go into absorption. Your mind will absorb into it because it's continuously mindful without thought. Then the energy also can build up. Then what you need to do is you can experience it, no harm. I experienced it during the early days when I was in the uni. Then later on I realized this one cannot free me. Because when I go back to society, I realized after a long time when I came out to work and I didn't meditate like when I was in the uni, I realized my mind still stirred. It still got craving, greed. I still want to go for MBA course. I still want to like further my study, develop what I call success in life, especially the financial feel. There is still this desire and craving to be successful, to develop financial freedom as early as possible. Then I realize, not right. Still chasing after many, many things. Not to say you cannot have ambition, you can have, but my nature is so different. I knew what this nature needs. What this nature needs is not all this. This one will come by its own parami. But what is important is to understand life, to liberate the mind, then to develop the wisdom to live the good life, the happy life, the peaceful life, and to be a blessing to all. So later on, when I came out to work, when I saw this, I realized this is not the way. Then I met this teacher, my teacher, Achayantra, very good. He taught me the daily mindfulness. He didn't really teach me. He said the highest meditation. We choose aware every moment, every instant in the present moment. He just said like that. He said this is the highest meditation. Then I checked. I realized I haven't done the daily mindfulness. Then I try to be mindful in the midst of life. No, cannot. I had to hold on to my anapanasati to be peaceful, to be calm. Then I realized I depend on the object of meditation to be calm, to be peaceful. That's why after that I decide to give it up. I just relax into it, silent, and let the mind go back to the original state of awareness, not in apana samadhi, not in absorption. When you go into absorption, the energy field is very strong. Your heart here cannot move. Nothing can stir it. It's like you enlightened. Lightning strike or whatever people do to you, you are so calm and so still inside. You will not even react or respond. You are always in the state of, they call, equanimity. But that one is a conditioned state. That one is a characteristic of the fourth jhana. It's not the real free mind. The free mind is a free mind not in concentration, not in absorption, not a conditioned state, but it's a free mind that is just aware, no thought. That is the real samadhi. And in the midst of sense experience, it does not stir. Yeah, it's collected, unwavering. That's why it can see things as they are. It can insight into phenomena. It can awaken. So that is what meditation is all about. When you understand, it becomes so easy. So this time, you go for retreat. You don't have to waste time doing all those things. You just continue to relax, silent, and do your daily mindfulness. Your bowing, whatever. Even walking meditation is very good. You just walk. Walk until you become very mindful. Walk at normal pace. Then later on, it will slow down on its own to your own, what they call natural pace. That is most suited for you. You will know what. You will move on, either slow down or speed up to that natural state that you are comfortable with. I still remember that time when I was doing it at the Cameron Retreat in 1989. I just walk, relax, silent, just walk. Then suddenly, the mindfulness becomes so different, so natural. Then you just walk. Then everything it do is in sati. That's why I say you have to train your mind until your mind enters sati. So anapanasati, you can recall, last time I used to share with you, or even you listen to the transcript recording and the transcript, you will come across all this. As your anapanasati stabilizes, there is no more thought. You remember? Where you are just mindful of the in and out breath, and you become very calm. Then the first thing you experience is what? After your anapanasati become very small, you are just aware without thought, the first thing you experience is what? What? No. Peace. What is the name of that peace? It's a spiritual calmness. Spiritual peacefulness. They call it piti, understand or not? Piti is spiritual calmness, peacefulness. Some call it rupture. The first time you experience it, it's like a rupture inside your mind. It's so nice, understand? It's like very, very nice. There's a rupture. There's joy, spiritual calmness, spiritual peacefulness, and joy. Because without thought, that thing will arise. But when it arises, you're supposed to relax. This is where people didn't develop. If you forget to relax into it, it will enter energy field. It will go into absorption, one-pointedness, even though it's continuous mindfulness. Then your mind becomes very calm, very still, like no thought, no movement. Concentrate until your heart here is like a steel cylinder there. Nothing can even cause any stirring or vibration. It just moves around the peripheral. Then if you continue to relax into it, it will experience a more refined calmness. From piti, you will experience what they call sukhang or sukha. Sukha is spiritual blissfulness. The mind becomes very blissful, intensely blissful. But this one can also come from concentration. When you continue to focus and concentrate, and of course they know how to relax into it, then sukhang will appear. Because this is also a jhanic factor. Jhanic factor means it is not an enlightenment factor. The five jhanic factor, only piti is the enlightenment factor. Whereas the other four are non-enlightenment factor. Especially the fourth one, sukhang, spiritual blissfulness. Then if you don't know how to relax into it, you become attached. Every time you meditate, you look for that very beautiful state. Then finally, when the sukhang also become very, very stable, they will continue to maintain concentration until the mind cannot move. One-pointedness. No thought, no movement, nothing. Like empty inside there. But everything killed into one point. So who say there is no thought? Who tell you there is no thought? It is the thought that tell you there is no thought. So no thought is a thought. Understand? How do you know it's no thought? It's the thought tell you, understand? But the real one is not like that. The real one, thought is not involved. Because this one, the thought is still there to fix everything. So that one-pointedness, ekagata, is the fifth jhanic factor. And that is not an enlightenment factor. That is the one that builds up a lot of thought energy. Because the thought cannot move, so it builds up the energy. It pushes up the jhana. From your forehead up the head, push out. That's why they go and develop until they hit jhana and all those things. Thinking that is what the Buddha meant. No, that was what he did before he became the Sammasambuddha. When he followed the two teachers, Alara and Uddaka, that taught him the seventh and the eighth jhana. So the real sati that the Buddha talked about is just mindfulness, awareness. And when it comes to the power factor of samadhi, samadhi, that samadhi is not samatha. It's not concentration. That's why if it's concentration, they would have put in the word samajana, understand? That's why he called it samadhi. Samadhi is not concentration. It's collectedness of mind, unwavering mind. The free mind that is just aware. So understanding is very important. Without understanding, you will do it wrongly. Okay? Maybe now it's 4:30, yeah? Yeah, can, yeah. Pass the mic to Vivian, yeah.
You mentioned earlier, wisdom is connected to the silent mind. So can I just summarize that? When you meditate with a silent mind, you can just develop develop wisdom.
Yeah. Without the silent mind, wisdom cannot arise. Because the silent mind is the true mind. Only this mind can awaken, can realize, can understand. Yeah. And because the formal mind is connected, that's why it will understand what that thing is. So when that wisdom arises, it is within that nature. Cannot go away on. Means you have. But the formal mind is different. The formal mind, because of the thought, the habitual tendency, they go and think. Then they cannot understand what happened. That's why a lot of cultivators get into this type of problem. Even though they have a glimpse of it, they experience, they connect, then they have the understanding. But they themselves doesn't know that the understanding is there. Because when you see the truth, you will understand. That is the natural response from the true mind, the true nature. But when they start to use the thinking mind, the logical mind, to understand, there is conflict. That's why they always end up with this question from the thought. How come like that? Why am I still like that? Because you think you are the former mind. This former mind got habitual tendency. The wisdom hasn't stabilized. So a lot of things is still in the transformation process. And you have to go through a lot before you can have the stability or understanding to really, really understand and share. So initially, just cultivate. Cultivate. Whatever will be, will be. The nature will understand. Then when you trust your nature, you have faith in the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, that triple gem will arise of causes and conditions to guide you along. Then your vow, your aspiration, your affinity with all the great beings will bring forth the causes and conditions. Then your doubt all will cease. Then you just do. Why do you want to know? When you really have the full understanding later on, very stable, you will understand all this. Your question all will be self-answered. Initially, because it's not stable yet, that's why these questions still come. So wisdom, when it arises, is already inside. That's why when you go through life, in the midst of life, when you confront anything, you will know how to act. But the moment you draw on the thought, the memory, your action is affected already. It's no longer what you think. Then because of your doubt, the spiritual faculty weakens. Yeah. So have faith, then there is no more doubt. Then everything will go your way. Just sincere, diligent, cultivate. Then the understanding keep on arising. Then there is joy within. The former mind will know all this. As it go through, it will know. Yeah. So this is the part where very few people can understand. But this wisdom that is connected to this former mind is pertaining to this former mind only. It's very strange. But once this former mind ceases to be, like you all call death process, when the consciousness separate, the wisdom also disappears with it. Gone. Then in future, when you come to another karmic body, or even as a bodhisattva through your pure mind or whatever, you still need to grow up and have the condition to connect back to that true mind, that true nature, before you can inherit your spiritual nature. Then you build up your wisdom again. But you inherit all of them. To inherit the spiritual nature, you need to connect. That is the only difference. But karmic nature, the moment you are born, you are already connected. And this karmic nature, because of your cultivation, you will be protected in a way, in certain way. But most people, they got mixed karma. That's why their karma will have to operate first. Then they have to go through a lot of things before they can connect. What I explained to you all is just a very, very simple explanation. The real meaning behind is very complicated, very complex, But later on, as you cultivate, as you go through all this, you will also develop the understanding. Then you will start to understand what I mean and what I try to explain. Initially, just let it be, don't worry, just listen, have an open mind. Then when the time comes, as you progress, you will understand all this. Because it is the same understanding. The understanding is the same for every living being. Your truth is just truth. They can use different words to explain it, but the understanding never changes. Because that is the basis of nature. Okay? So you... Jin Hao, yes.
Hi, Brother. I have a question. You always say silent the mind. I just want to recapture. Silent mind, is it means that you just relax and be aware? That's it. Even if during the moments, even if there's thought, you just don't give meaning and just be aware about it.
Okay. I think I know why you asked this question. You often might explain to you. I realize this is the part that is not easy for cultivator to understand, even you all. Because you have not really gone into it to do it. If you have gone into it and do it, this question doesn't arise. Because you're trying to use your thought to rationalize what I say. Brother Teo says silent mind. Silent mind means silent my mind. Thought arise, don't care. I very God say thought arise, don't care. I say you have to understand why thought arise. The word is understanding. Why thought arise? Why are you not peaceful? Why are you heedless? So the answer is what? You have to understand this. What is this? The untrained mind is heedless. It will think a lot because the mental hindrances are there. Understand or not? Because it lacks what? It lacks the five spiritual faculties. So get this understood. This is why thought arise. So if I know thought arise, then I tell myself, this mind, the former mind, which is not me, is still untrained, is still without the spiritual faculty, it will think. Understand or not? It will arise the thought. So what is the problem? I didn't say ignore. Ignore means what? Indifference, understand or not? You know what is indifferent or not? The word indifference, do you know what is it or not? When you are indifference, because like your neighbor, okay? We are not related to you, understand or not? Nothing to do with you. So they got accident, they got robbed, you are indifferent, isn't it? Ayo, I think so, yeah. So if you ignore the thought, it's like you are indifferent. Do you understand? Don't ignore the thought. Understand that because of karmic or whatever, they have this condition. So there is no more indifference. There is understanding. Yeah, they get into this trouble because of karma. So when you understand, you don't just ignore. Understand? When you understand, you accept. The untrained mind is heedless. Think a lot. Heedless. Think a lot, because it lacks five spiritual faculty. So, what must you do when you meditate? What must you do? Yeah, all the answers are here, I just went through. You are not really listening, do you understand? If you know you haven't trained the mind, so what do you do? Solution is to? You better repeat it loud. Solution is to? To train the mind to be heedful. How do you train the mind to be heedful? Of course you cultivate spiritual faculty, but before your spiritual faculty is there, what must you do? The mind sweeping method combined with metta, understand or not? To decondition the heedless thinking so that this heedless thinking is no more there, then only that sati, the silent mind, can come. That's why you don't do the mind-sweeping method to experience the silent mind,
You don't know what I'm trying to tell you. That's why you must do that. So the inner peace will bring about the silent mind. But that silent mind is not stable, understand or not? That's why you have to use anapanasati to stabilize it. Because this is for those who want to train the mind before the spiritual faculty becomes stable. So the training of the mind is initially when the spiritual faculty are not stable, you need to train. That's why the Buddha teach you anapanasati. Then you're supposed to do until the anapanasati becomes so aware. Initially, the awareness will bring about the experience of piti. Then relax, sukhang, sukhang. Then relax, it becomes what? The final one is what? Pasati. Pasati is what? Tranquility of mind. The silent mind, the meditative mind. That's why the mind becomes so quiet, so still, so tranquil. You're supposed to meditate until your mind realizes that state of pasati. And that is your silent mind. Then all these questions that you ask means you didn't really go in and do. But don't worry, you don't go and blame yourself. Luckily you ask. Otherwise, a lot of people like you will be stuck for very long. So it's not to ignore the thought. I already told you. That's why you have to be very clear. I say, tell yourself the untrained mind is heedless. It will think a lot. Because the mental hindrance are there. Why? I lack the spiritual faculty. If I know this as a fact, means through my meditation, the moment I want to meditate, I know it think a lot. Why? Because now, the Buddha has explained to you because you lack the spiritual faculty. And the mind that is not trained will behave this way. So when I understand, I accept. I accept means I'm at peace. At peace means what? I don't have like and dislike. Do you understand? So the first two mental hindrance, no more. When the first two mental hindrance no more, then sati can set in. Understand or not? Because no more mental hindrance to hinder the mind from entering the meditative state. So you just silent, relax. The four support. Silent, relax. So initially the thought will arise because it's still heedless. But you let it arise. You don't resist it. You don't get unhappy over it, which is aversion, dislike. Or you don't get attracted to the calm mind, the peaceful mind, which is sensual desire. So without sensual desire and ill will, your mind will stabilize and become aware. That's how you meditate. It will return to its original state. And that is the fastest way to meditate. No need to train, no need to go into anapanasati. No need to even do mind sweeping method. But if you don't understand, you don't have the spiritual faculty, then you need all this skillful mean, you do it. You can follow. So training is very simple. Mind sweeping method combined metta to bring about inner peace leading to inner well-being so that your cells, everything become very, very beautiful. The vibration become very beautiful. You have to experience some form of peace, calmness, piti, sukhang. Then silence the mind. Otherwise, you cannot meditate without the inner peace, inner calmness, and inner well-being. Your mind becomes restless, agitated. Then you cannot cope with pain and all those things. The word relax is very important. When you relax, it removes all the block, the qi block that make your leg painful, numb, and all those things. When you relax into it, the qi flow. Like yoga people know how to relax. They can take all those yoga training, and you know yoga is very flexible. They can bend until all sorts of formation. And yet, there is no pain because the qi flow, because they know how to relax into it. So ours is different. Ours is just to relax so that the mind is calm, peaceful. There is no aversion. There is no reaction. Then after you have trained your mind, you have to stabilize it to anapanasati. Then the rest is very simple. You continue to relax, silent. When the sati come, you contemplate on who the Buddha is and how special a being he is to develop the faith, the sadha, then the virya. Then after that, combined with the sati, when sati stabilized, samadhi is there, the five spiritual faculty. These five spiritual faculty are very important. The five spiritual faculties. You must have them, otherwise not easy. Sadha. Or faith. Or confidence in the Buddha and his teaching. Then virya. So virya is spiritual zeal. Or tenacity. To go this way. Then sati. Sati, you can do it through all the various training, bowing, walking, then anapanasati or four posture, sati sampajana, daily mindfulness. So all these you can develop them. Then when this one stabilizes, samadhi will be the result. So when samadhi arises, the natural consequence is panya, which is wisdom. So this is all automatic. Okay, you know? Yeah? So, that's why I say spend time understanding it. When you understand, meditation becomes very simple. Just relax, silent. Lie down there and don't do anything. Then let the thought slow down everything. Then when you realize that stillness, the silence, which is pasati, whether you do anapanasati or you do this one, it's the same. Finally, you reach the silent mind. The meditative mind. And when the mind enters the sati, that is the complete training. Before you hit that point, you cannot be mindful in the midst of life, I tell you. It's always that conditioned state when you experience at the retreat. The moment you come out, you are gone again. Because you don't have that stability. Your mind hasn't entered the sati. When your mind enters the sati, it's just like they say, they do the rising falling, or the anapanasati, until no more breathing, no more rising falling, until like no more movement, so they don't know what to do. And you know, the traditional method or technique is to tell you to go and do sitting touching, to feel your buttock against the floor. They say go into feeling, vedana. No, if you do that, you go and note sitting, touching, again you arise the thought. Don't do anything, just silent and let the mind stabilize. Let the silent mind stabilize. You will come to know what that thing is. Then after that, the mind will enter sati. Means you will realize pasati, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, or the silent mind. The meditative mind. No thought one inside that. Then any movement or stirring of mind, when you come out of the meditation, because your senses start to move again, then you see, slowly it comes in. Because of your mindfulness, you can see. Even the sense data, they come in slowly. You will experience all these things. Then everything is like slow motion inside there. But everything is still behaving the same way, the same speed and rapidity. But because of your sati, your mindfulness, you can see them like slow down. Because your awareness is vivid. Everything becomes different, like the Matrix show, the bullet shot at that guy, Keanu Reeves. He can bend himself and avoid all those bullets because he has that mindfulness, the awareness. Okay? Luckily, Jin Hao asked that question. Otherwise, a lot of you, I think, also trapped. Because I need you to tell me, because for me, I think everybody was like me. Very easy. When I explain this, it's already so clear. When I did it, nobody explained to me. I found it out myself. So I thought, if I have found out, I tell you, it's very easy. Like you don't have to learn it. But I didn't realize that it's Because you are so conditioned, understand or not? And you are so conditioned to think in the old way. You never believe that it's so simple. Do you understand? Like the word economics. Oh, you think economics is very complicated. So what is economics? When you understand, it's very simple. I got one friend who is an accountant. He told me he loved economics a lot. Because economic is not a rigid thing, understand? Economic theory keep on changing one. It's continuously in a state of flux. It evolves with civilization, understand? That's why it's not rigid. It's not a knowledge. Economic is your understanding of all the parameter or the factor that influence the world economy. That's why we call it economics. The economic of a country, of a nation, of an individual. Then you got all the various economic theory. So as engineer, last time we also have to study. We study engineering economics. Then we also have to learn the what they call organization theory, Maslow's needs theory. And I find them very interesting. I love this type of subject. It enhanced my understanding of life. Like Maslow's need theory, it starts from basic need, then they evolve to the higher needs. So human craving is the same. From delusion, you evolve the ignorant. But when you have the understanding, you evolve it differently. Your need hierarchy becomes different. Then the highest one is there is no need. There is no more craving. Your accord and flow, things is just the way it is. Or then that one is not in the economic books. Understand? So Dhamma is very unique and very beautiful. So understanding is very important. When you understand and you do, very fast you progress. You don't have to waste your time doing all those things that retard you or hinder you. That's the reason why I say meditation is to be developed or done through understanding. Without understanding, people are just wasting their time. I already said you can be in and out of retreat for umpteen years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, no different. You have not developed the wisdom to root out your evil roots, your defilement. You are still back to square one. The moment you step out of the retreat, go back to daily life, go back to society, you cannot cope. You realize you still have fear, you still have worry, anxiety, you still suffer, you still have problem. You may have more peace, more calmness in the midst of retreat condition. But the moment you are out of it, you cannot maintain that peacefulness, the calmness, which means you are heedless. You are not heedful. If you are heedful, you are always calm and peaceful. The spiritual faculty is always there. Sada viryasati, samadhi, is always there. That's why wisdom, panya, keep on arising. Then the factors of enlightenment keep on arising. That's why factors of enlightenment are very important. Sati leading to Dhamma vichaya, Dhamma investigation. Without sati, you cannot investigate into what the Buddha shared with you, into truth. Then, after that, is virya. Because when you investigate into Dhamma, you realize it stand up to the truth, the teaching stand up to the truth, you got faith, very strong, unshakable faith. That's why that one will drive you to cultivate. That's why with sati, you cultivate Dhamma vichaya, Dhamma investigation. Then your faith increase, the virya will come, the real virya drive you. Then when you develop virya, the fourth enlightenment factor is what? After virya is what? Piti, not sati. Sati is the first one. Sati is the first one. Ayo. If this one you cannot remember, very difficult. Seven factors of enlightenment. So these seven factors of enlightenment are very important. First one is mindfulness, sati. Then, Dhamma what? Vichaya, which is Dhamma investigation. Oh, investigation. It's all in the Heart Sutta book. So when you have this Dhamma Vichaya, when the Dhamma stand up to investigation, your faith is increased. So after your faith increase, you will develop virya, spiritual zeal. That's why you will want to meditate, because this is important. Then after you develop virya, the next thing is, during meditation, when you have sati, what follow? Piti. That's why all this is a natural progress. So after you realize piti, the next one is what? No lah. Pasati first. The tranquility of mind. The silent mind. That's why this is the one you must hit. Understand? After piti, of course, you will go to sukha, but this is not an enlightenment factor. Sukha. It's not an enlightenment factor. So this one, you relax and bypass it. So from piti, it will become more refined. You will experience sukhang or sukha. So this one, you bypass it. Then you will hit this one. Then only samadhi. So this samadhi is a result of pasati. When pasati stabilize, then it becomes samadhi. Then when pasati stabilize, it can see things as they are, then it develops the wisdom. Once the wisdom come about, the last factor of enlightenment only arise. This one is equanimity, upekkha. One P or two P? One P, Double K, Upekkha. So this is how the enlightenment factor come about. And all this you have to understand. When you do it, it will come out in this sequence. That's why I don't have to remember. Otherwise, you try to remember. Then you try to look for it in the meditation. Because it's a natural sequence. The first thing I develop is sati. I remember. I go back to natural state, release it out. Then I went back to daily mindfulness. So when my daily mindfulness arise, I realize that Dhamma investigation is every moment, every instant. Truth is everywhere. Why can't you see? So you start to see truth everywhere. Then Dhammapada verse 1, 2, 183, all stand up to investigation. That's how the law of karma give rise to the teaching. And why the evil roots are the root of all evil. Then why keep precept? Those who break precept, that's why all this teaching come about. The book also never write. They didn't link the whole thing for you. They didn't explain to you. They have all the Dhamma everywhere. And they are like teaching the Dhamma separately. Because they are all connected. So when you investigate, your faith becomes very strong. Then you realize the Buddha's teaching is so wonderful. It stand up to investigation. So your faith will drive you to cultivate virya. Then when you really cultivate, you sure experience piti. True or not? Because your mindfulness calm, no more thought, you will experience the spiritual calmness, the peacefulness. Then when piti arise, you silence the mind, relax further until it becomes very quiet, very peaceful. Until no thought, tranquility of mind. That's why no more movement, no rising, no falling. The breathing becomes very subtle, like nothing inside there. That is pasati, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. The mind is so still, quiet, no movement. That's why without thought, you're already aware. But when you are aware for a short moment, no use. This pasati is you are all the time quiet, still. Then your mind is tranquil. Very quiet, very still. Then you continue to stabilize this, it will become samadhi. Samadhi means you come out into the daily life, this positive follow you, the mind is in sati. Then you continue to stabilize it until this mind becomes unwavering, collected. Then it can see things as they are in the midst of life, not in the retreat condition. That's how you awaken and develop the wisdom. When the wisdom is there, the real upekha come about. Because this upekha is not due to the fourth jhana. It's due to the free mind with wisdom. Then after that, you don't need samadhi. Wisdom alone will allow you to live life, to remain in the state of equanimity. You no longer stir, react, and become deluded like before. So this is how this whole cultivation is to be understood. Can follow? Because today better skip meditation, focus on this. If you understand this, then only you meditate, got meaning, otherwise no meaning. Because I have repeated this thing many times, it's all in the Heart Sutta book. You go back and read. But because you all don't read with understanding, and a lot of you are so conditioned by your old way, but at least Vivian is not bad because she translate. She don't have old Buddhist teaching or condition. So that's why she tried to remember a certain word. But at least she hit the right word, except pronounce it wrongly. Pasati is a pananti or pasapati. Pasapati. Yes. It's in the Heart Sutta. Go and read the Heart Sutta. This is not Heart Sutta. This is cultivating the Bodhisattva way. No, this is cultivating the Bodhisattva way. The Heart Sutta is another thick book. Bigger one. This one tells you a lot after you understand the Heart Sutta. Because this is the Bodhisattva way after the Heart Sutta one. That's why you must read that one first. Yeah, this is very small. Heart Sutta big. Heart Sutta is big. But this one we reduce the size. Heart Sutta A4, big fellow. Easy for you to read. Elderly people like you can read more easily. It's related. Yeah, in the midst of life. Midst of life. Not midlife, midst of life, within life. Not too late. Ayo. You know Lim Kwa Tong decided to build Genting at the age of? He was 50 years old, no? Only he started to have the idea of developing Genting. No? When he got young, 50 years old, build Genting, no? Not meditate. Meditate 7 days, you can become enlightened. No? Genting, 10 years or so. Because when he was constructing that road, you know what was in his thought or not? People say he's crazy, you know. His name is Lim Kwa Tong, no? Lam Tong in Cantonese, no? Means he think not correctly, Lam Tong. So if Lam Tong, someone want to build a mountain road up in the mountain top nowhere and build a casino and expect people to drive all the way there and patronize your casino and come down, do you think you can sleep or not? It's like a crazy fellow, isn't it? And in the 80s, the world don't have reputable casino, you know. And he did it, you know. And he became Lim Kwa Tong. It means his name. No, not midlife. In the midst of life. Not midlife. Luckily you clarify again. Otherwise confused again. In the midst of life. Yeah, you're very young. Mahathir 92, still actively campaigning. 22 years. And that is very powerful voice from him. He is so strong. I really respect him. Yeah. He also a doctor, the wife also a doctor. That's why it's... But a lot of doctors also die young.
Only this doctor both survive very long. The willpower in him. He believes in something, his willpower sustains him. But he is a great being, I tell you. He is not ordinary being. But he come in a different way. In a different way, to play a different role. Okay, any other question? You don't have? You want to meditate or not? Meditate half an hour. Or you want to continue to ask questions? I think better. First class after New Year, you better have a good time. Because retreat is quite near. You get yourself prepared, then come for the briefing on the 3rd of March. Sri An say he may change the time to later afternoon. No. The briefing. Yeah. Because some of them taking bus from Penang, they may arrive late. Yeah, coming Saturday. Yeah, 7 of them attending, I was told. So you wait for the announcement. I don't know whether the time will be changed or not. 9:30, yeah. Oh, then maybe he didn't change. He told me the time might be changed. Maybe I heard him wrongly. I don't know. Now you check with him and see. If it's to be changed, then let people know early. So people can plan their time. But what about the rest? Are you all clear about the cultivation now? Yeah? If you're not sure, you better ask. I never stop you from asking. But sometimes I use certain word, maybe if you are very sensitive, you feel hurt. I say, I already explained many times, you feel very hurt. Means your ego is still there, understand? If you feel hurt, means you still haven't passed. see, Pao Lian? How liao.
Rao Tio, I would like to ask about past meditation experience. Because I very curious, Krishnamurti mentioned and Rao Tio mentioned just now that meditate until nobody is meditating. So, I have...
Krishnamurti never say that. I also never say that. I don't know where you get it from. I never say that. Krishnamurti also never say that. He only say wherever there is a meditator, there is no meditation. He very got say meditate until no meditator.
Sorry, funny
fellow. I also never teach like that. That's why you have to be very precise.
The statement is
wherever there is a meditator, there is no meditation. Because the meditator is the thought. That's why you use thought-based meditation. It's not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. The meditation as taught by the Buddha is sati, mindfulness. Mindfulness is awareness before the knowing, before the arising of thought and the aggregate. That's why when you are silent, you just aware. So that is it. So what is your question?
I have twice, I think, the experience where I meditate until I won't say I was sleeping, but I will say Hokkien mzailang. And there was one is I wake up because suddenly the mind become very clear, and it was only for 5-3 seconds, Brother Teo, tong, meditation finish.
So
the question is, I was asking myself what was that I become like mzailang. I think for the first experience of mzailang, before that I think I was
You got slow and topper.
And then I don't know how I dance together with the slow and topper.
It's not you dance, because you haven't investigated into it.
If you have investigated into it, meditation is not to want to know all these things. Why do you want to know all these things? I can explain to you what happened, but that is not the meditation, understand? No. Meditation is to understand how all this state arise, understand? No. So like you say, you have sleepiness. At least you are aware. But go into it, understand? No. Just don't say, "Ayo, I know I think a lot. I know I got this sleepiness." Then what are you doing? That is not meditation. The meditation is when sloth and torpor arise, it's a mental hindrance. What must you do?
I didn't reject. I just go with it and I continue.
Then what happened?
Then I become, I don't know what happened. Next thing is, I know I suddenly wake up and, no, I didn't open my mind. I didn't open my eyes, just that I become very aware and things is very, very bright. And I know my mind is very, very clear.
Yeah, like you say for 3 seconds. So you have to find out, understand? Or? Because when your sloth and torpor happen, based on what you describe, you are not mindful at all, understand? Or? You allow it to sleep. That's why you blank off, understand? Or? Your consciousness like cut off, like when you go into sleep. Sometimes you dream also, you are not aware. That's why it's like blank off. Then after a while, suddenly you become very clear. That is the shift of consciousness. But because you didn't do it correctly, you are not aware. You didn't go into the sloth and torpor. When you are aware, your mindfulness should allow the sloth and torpor to be with the mindfulness. Like I explained last time, you don't go and reject that sleepiness, understand not? Some people, they don't want to be sleepy because they say, this is not meditating. If I am sleepy, it's a mental hindrance. I must not be sleepy. And then you conflict yourself. Then there is a desire not to sleep. There is an aversion. You dislike that one. These are sensual desire and ill will. These are mental hindrance. It will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. Then just now you mentioned, you didn't do anything. You just accept. You just accept it's not enough. You have to be mindful of it. Accept is the first aspect because the mind that has hindrance without the spiritual faculty will experience sloth and torpor. Do you understand? So that's why you say you can accept it. It's good if you can accept it. If you can accept it, you must be aware of it, silent and just be with it and find out. If you silent and be with it, the mind becomes different. Suddenly it will go into that shift. Then you will experience the brightness, the clarity, the energy inside. Initially like a flash of light. Then your mind becomes very clear, very alert, full of virya. And that one will not last for 3 seconds. That one will last for very long. Because you didn't go in. That's why I say you report, which is very good, then you go in. Because you are more interested in what? You are more interested in what you perceive. I and Krishnamurti say, you must meditate until nobody is there. Means you think you blank off, you reach that state. Nobody is there. That's why your thought, that craving for that state, conditions you to go into that. Then your memory tells you, hey, maybe I should ask Brother Theo, this is my mind blank off. No, means I meditate until no meditator. This is crazy, isn't it? So, initially, when you don't understand, it's okay, you can ask. But after I highlight already, you better go and reflect, contemplate, and don't repeat this type of mistake. The Buddha already mentioned, when the mental hindrance arise, it's because your wrong view, your lack of spiritual faculty. That's why it has this mental hindrance. The like and dislike, you know, it comes from your stirring of your mind. Because your views, your opinion, condition you to stir. So when you understand that this hindrance will hinder your mind, you have to learn to see things as they are. People are just the way they are. No right, no wrong. Why must you get angry with people? Why must you crave for the good state to be repeated or retained? No. Observe reality and let things be. Think it's just the way they are. So you are accepting as they are, I don't have like and dislike, my sensual desire and ill will stop. Then sati can take over. Sloth and torpor also same. It's a mental hindrance. It arrives because I rejected something. Understand or not? Or sometimes because I'm tired, I feel sleepy. Sometimes it's because it's a mental hindrance. It could be a test. It comes and tests you. So whatever mind state that arises, if you don't react, don't stir, there is no mental hindrance, you accept it as what it is, don't label it, then you are at peace with it, then you will go into the meditation. That is what meditation is all about. Then the awareness that is with the sloth and topper, even if you go in and sleep, you will be aware of the sleeping, aware of the snoring, everything. That is what meditation is supposed to be. But most of the time before it goes into that sleep or whatever, yeah, unless you are doing lying down meditation, the shift of consciousness will appear. You will appear. Then suddenly you come to know the mind state is different. Because the mental hindrance no more. There is no more hindrance to hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. So it will shift and enter the meditative state. Then the first thing that arises is the virya. The sleepiness is countered by the virya. Understand? The virya will come in. Then when the virya comes in, there is clarity. There is awareness. There is energy. Then you realize you can be aware of many things. Then from virya, if you silence your mind and develop mindfulness, you experience piti. Then all this enlightenment factor will unfold. That is what meditation is all about. Understand? So don't get yourself into that wrong understanding again. I never say meditate until no meditator. Where got such thing? Krishnamurti also never say that. He said wherever there is a meditator, there is no meditation. That's it. You must understand that. So don't use thought. Understand? But when you live life, you have to use thought. Because the use of thought is very important. When you have wisdom, you know how to use thought, then thought becomes right thought. That is what Noble Eightfold Path is all about. But before you become enlightened, try the very least to use thought. Because if you use thought, the thought will tell you to do good. Good according to you, which may not be the real good. It's your own selfish version of good. So when you are not awakened, when you don't have the Dhamma, if you try to use thought, you have to be very careful. Very careful. That's why the Dhamma is very deep, very penetrative. When you understand, it's so beautiful. But before you understand, it tends to become knowledge and hinder you. Because when you attach to Dhamma as knowledge, then that is delusion. So, continue to understand, then the next time when it happens, relax into it, stay with it. Don't ever labor or stir your mind to create mental hindrance. Whatever mind state arise, let it be. Because the untrained mind without the spiritual faculty is like that. So when I accept, I'm at peace. Then sati will take over. The spiritual faculty will take over. There is nothing to hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. That's why I just relax, silent, and let things be. Then everything will just slow down and fall into place. Then you will experience that stillness, the silence. I remember initially it's like all of a sudden, like middle of the night, you suddenly experience the quietness of the night. Like the traffic, all the sound, the vibration, all no more. Then you realize it's so quiet. Your mind also safe. When the chattering, when the stirring, reacting, and the verbalization all stop, you will experience it. The tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, the silent mind, that is your meditative mind. You will come to that realization. Then initially, your awareness, if you have the awareness, when the thoughts start to slow down, you know. You are aware. How come the activity now less? Then you continue to relax into it, silent. Then it becomes so quiet, so still, like no thought. The first time you experience that, you will develop a lot of understanding. You will have a lot of joy. Because that is the real silent mind, peaceful mind, quiet mind. No agitation, nothing, no movement, nothing. But not easy to realize that if you don't have the patience and the understanding. Because you all, every time meditate, want to know. Is this the state that Brother Teo say? The moment you arrive, this thought, you are gone. Understand? Because before you experience all this and go into all this, you already verbalizing, understand? Am I doing it correct? Did Brother Teo say this? Did the Buddha say this? Is this anicchang? You are verbalizing without even knowing that you are verbalizing. So meditation is not about verbalizing. When you meditate, you're just silent, relax, aware. Then one of my teachers say, enjoy. But not the enjoyment type. He said, silent, relax, and meditate. So to him is enjoy the meditation. That's why I say, you come here to meditate, not to torture yourself. You remember? A lot of people come here, they're not move, have a lot of pain, numbness, fat also they're not fat. You're torturing yourself for what? You might as well go home and have a cup of coffee and watch the TV or listen to nice music. Why are you here torturing yourself? Means you must understand what you are doing in the name of meditation. And then there is meaning. Then there is no suffering. If I come here to relax body and mind and develop the training of the mind to be peaceful, I should be peaceful. Correct? How come I experiencing all these funny things? Can agree to this? Then you ask yourself, means you do without understanding. If you do with understanding, you are very peaceful. You are full of peace within. Inner peace, inner well-being, calmness, stillness, tranquility, joy, happiness. All these are with you. These are the mind state of a trained mind. When the spiritual faculty are there, you have calmness. Your mind is very composed. You have faith. You have confidence in the Buddha and his teaching. You are very calm, very composed. Then you have this virya to drive you to meditate. You are very, very strong in your determination to walk this way, to cultivate. Then when you have sati, no thought, you are very peaceful, very calm. You are always with the moment. Then when this one stabilizes, you can see things as they are very clearly. Then you will awaken. Then there is a lot of joy. Then when you develop the understanding, the peacefulness, the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, the silent mind, the mindfulness, all will arise. Then the enlightenment factor, one by one, they will arise. Then you will keep on investigating into Dhamma. There is a lot of joy. Then piti will arise, sukha will arise, pasati will arise. Tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, the peaceful mind. So all these are the outcome of proper training, proper understanding. So when you understand, meditation is very easy. You will experience all this. Otherwise, the mental hindrance keep on arising. Then you keep on complaining, oh, you're so painful, how to meditate? Then afterward, numbness. Then afterward, oh, think a lot. Then afterward, sloth and torpor. Then a lot of this type of thought that come and disturb you. Then you dare not look at the thought. In fact, a lot of meditators, they come in like one-to-one. They tell me what, Bratio, sometimes this mind very, very problematic. A lot of dirty thought also come. Lustful thought and all those things. I say, so what you do? I don't want to think. How can you don't want to think? The untrained mind is heedless, think a lot. The more you don't want to think, means you are suppressing it. You are forcing yourself not to think, and you will think more, I tell you. Because the thought is active, understand? So you cannot say, I don't want the thought to think. It's like the kid. You say, boy, don't go out. I tell you, the boy is waiting for opportunity. The moment you are not around, he will go out. Because he's not going to listen to you, understand? Boy, study. You think he will study? He is choi lei tong ngong. So it's like you tell your thought, hey, don't think. You think that thought will listen to you? It won't listen to you. Unless you have developed the wisdom and the thought, no. If I believe or trust my master, then I will be peaceful. Then my master will reward me like the dog. Sit. Oh, yeah. Feed the dog. Then you tell the mind, you listen to me, you train, meditate according to what I tell you, you'll be very calm, very peaceful. You are not agitated. You got no mental suffering. Then the thought will believe you. Then the thought will quiet down. Without you, I'm very peaceful. Then the thought say, good, you stay your own. I stay my own. You need me, you call me. That is how you're supposed to train your thought, understand? Because with wisdom, the user of thought become wise. Then thought become right thought. You will not be so foolish as use that thought, the tool, to cut yourself, harm yourself, hurt yourself, and hit others. That is the wrong way of using that tool, like a knife. So if you understand that, people who deludedly use their thought and make themselves miserable, depressed, these are deluded people, understand? It's like using that thought to harm themselves, hurt themselves, make themselves miserable, full of sorrow, lamentation, fear, envy, jealousy. That is not the right way to use thought. You should use thought appropriately to arise the right thought, so that you can be a blessing to all, so that you can develop the right speech, right action, and right thought process. This is what Noble Eightfold Path is all about. The user of thought is very important. The user of the form and mind is very important. If you know that, then develop wisdom to use it correctly. Understand there is law of karma. There are certain things you cannot do. That's why the Buddha introduced the precepts. Then he introduced the spiritual faculty for you to counter the mental hindrance. So see the importance and work towards it. This will improve your life. Help transform your life, change your life, and make you so different, so beautiful. Liberate your mind from all this suffering and misery. Then why are you still not doing it? Why are you still procrastinating? Waiting. A lot of people, they justify, you know, okay lah, wait till I retire, I do. Then retire already, still got time lah. Wait till I'm more free, I go for retreat. I can't get leave and all those things. So, this is all self-justification. Because you don't see the importance. That's why you keep on postponing. But life doesn't wait for you, understand? Life has its limitation. There is certain limit to how long you live. That's why they call it your lifespan. If your lifespan is up, nobody can help you. You have to go. This is what nature's law is all about. Even God cannot help you. God cannot change things. Because people believe there is God. Of course, you have the freedom to believe. For me, when you understand, there is no such, I don't know, maybe the meaning of the G-O-D must change. Then there is such thing as God. If God is nature's law, then that all the thing that they say is true. Because that is what basically God is all about. Nature. Nature has its nature's law that governs life and existence. That's why they say God knows. Nature knows. Then you cannot lie to nature. Nature know and record everything. Nature is almighty. They always say you are born in the image of God. But they don't even have an image for God. And yet they tell you, in the Bible it's stated, all living beings are born in the image of God. If God got no image, then how come human beings, animals, all these are so different? How come they are born in the image of God? Didn't you all have this question? When I was young, I find it very funny. Then, when I came to realize the Dhamma, I realized nature is God. Ah, then it's correct. You know, from nature we come, understand or not? Then everyone, even animal, human being, gods or whatever, we are born in the image of God. We are from nature we come. To nature we shall return. Ah, in that sense the word become true. Otherwise, how can human being also so different, each and every one? So you mean God has so many images? And in their teaching it stated God is without image. That Jesus is not God, you know, he's the Son of God. So a lot of these things, if you inquire into it, you develop the understanding, then you will not be gullible. Then you will start to understand life very clearly. Well, I look at life. Since birth until now, nothing is created. Everything comes in a very natural way. Even my thought process arises in a very natural way. I don't need a God to be part of my life. Understand? Because there is no necessity for such an idea or a concept. I can understand everything comes about through nature's law, naturally. All the occurrences, even scientists also can come to know through their scientific understanding that everything follows these sets of nature's law, which governs everything. So open up your mind, have a free mind to understand deeper, to inquire based on your own understanding. Then you can understand many things. Okay? Well, yeah? Sadhu. Anybody else? Today I have to leave early, yeah? Because my sister, they are coming. Another 50 minutes. So this new year, what have you all been doing? I remember I gave a talk in SJBA many, many years back. I think at least 4 or 5 years back. Regarding Chinese New Year. I think it's in our website. It's about Chinese New Year. So on Chinese New Year, what do you do? Most of you. Last time you sent Chinese New Year greeting card, isn't it? Now no more. Now all WhatsApp. Now all copy one. Receive from there, which one nicer? Palms. Then they got all the Chinese wording. Chu Yi, Chu Er, Chu San, Chu Qi, Chu Jiu. All the words there. Last time, you got to wait for New Year greeting card to come. At least 3 days. Then open out one message only. Then got to buy stamp, got to post. Now, life is so different. Then what do you wish people? You always wish people what? Wishing you? Happy New Year, yeah? No. Gong Xi, what? Gong Xi, what zai? So, you wish people Fa Choi, so, means wishing you a prosperous Chinese New Year. Happy New Year. And in that talk, do you know what I say or not? If you wish, it won't come true. Understand or not? If wish, by wishing can come true, the whole world is very, very blessed, very prosperous. Everybody will be very blessed. I say you have to understand the nature's law that governs life and existence. If by wishing, the wish can come true, then there is no poor people, no suffering being, no miserable being. But why is the world full of poor people? Full of misery. Misery everywhere. Suffering. It's because all this doesn't arise through wishing. Wishing doesn't play the actual role. The actual role is when you understand the Dhamma, you develop the meditation, the training of the mind, the understanding of the teaching, then you develop virtue, you avoid evil, follow the Buddha's teaching, then you develop wisdom, then you make aspiration, then you cultivate parami, generosity and all those things. So if you want to have good health, don't kill, understand? Don't harm, don't do all the karmic negativity that can make your health miserable. Then develop the kindness to help people, help the sick. Like the Buddha said, those who serve the sick serve me. Do you understand the deep meaning? Those who really serve the sick, it's like you are serving the Buddha, because you are really developing the blessing. Means you are a true cultivator. You are a true Buddhist in that sense. Do you know in the ancient day, when the emperor is in charge, when the emperor sends you somewhere, means you are on a mission by the emperor, isn't it? So you serve who? You serve the emperor, isn't it? So the Buddha is the same. He who serves the sick, serve me. He trained you with the Dhamma, understand? And you have the love and the compassion. So if you know the deep meaning, he who serves the sick, serve me, it's like if you really respect the emperor, you serve the emperor. So the Buddha is the same. He teaches you the teaching. So like the king, he ruled the nation. He gave you the army, the support, the authority, then you serve him. Maybe they go and fight war. Right or wrong is another thing. But you serve the sick, it never go wrong. It is parami. So all this, you understand. If you want well, like prosperity, good life, long life, it's not by wishing alone. It's by fulfilling the condition for all this to arise. So when you understand, you know, all this wishing is like in Hokkien, gia lai gong wan, understand? Or in Cantonese, lo lai gong wan. No meaning. The real thing is, you must have the parami. Then no need to wish. Every day, also auspicious day. Understand? No need to see feng shui and all those things. So like a lot of Chinese, they believe, what day to open business, to start the business. Sometimes they know that day is no good. So they purposely go 1 or 2 days earlier. But they know they want more holiday. So I've seen in my hometown what they do. They just open the door for 5-10 minutes. Then they close back. They say, hoi chong zhe la. Miss, cut si, or don't know. Miss, jia ji, jia wan. Everything jia. But lang bo jia. So it will not come to be. But if you have good heart, good understanding with the Dhamma, when you open business, also no different. To me, if you are having the understanding, the virtue, the blessing, the karma, every day is auspicious for you. No need to look for dates. Understand? And this understanding is very important. Then you do away with a lot of rites and rituals, superstition, the wrong view. You go and look for that talk. What I mentioned to you is very little. That talk was very good. I think it's in the website. Then every year you go back, you got reunion. The meaning of reunion, I explained it the Dhamma way. Where reunion means what? You get to meet all your brothers and sisters, your parents, your loved ones, on that occasion once a year. So normally when you gather, what you do? If you are not mindful, you gossip, understand what? You say bad things about people, then you comment. But for those who are mindful, they will arise the right speech. That is the best time to train your noble eightfold path. Understand that? Whether you are heedful or you are not heedful. Otherwise, you go back for reunion, you just get excited, eat until your stomach blows out and create so much problem for you. But if you are mindful, heedful, you have the Dhamma, you go back and find out, update each other. Well, once a year you meet. Then they will tell you, oh, certain of your family member they are not so fortunate. Then sometimes, like for my case, my brother and sister, they will update me, which other brother and sister not doing so well or having certain issues in life and problem. So normally I go back, I will attend to all this. I say, how is it now? Since we are all here, can we help them, do something about them, for them? So this is how you actually bring about harmony, understanding. Then they look forward to your guidance to resolve issue. Then all the problem get resolved. So I share quite a lot of things inside there. You go and listen. Okay. Another 2-3 minutes. I have to go. Any more questions? Actually, Noble Eightfold Path can be cultivated everywhere in the midst of life and nature. If you have the understanding, the teaching is always there. And there are ample opportunity for you to cultivate. That's why my teacher always shared this with me. He said, life is our greatest teacher. Can you remember that? Life, L-I-F-E, is our greatest teacher. You can learn a lot from life. You can learn a lot from nature. If only you set your mindfulness to be observant, to be aware, then a lot of Dhamma can unfold. That's why that teacher, Ajahn Yantra, is very good. He was the one that told me, nature has great loving kindness. Nature is full of love and compassion. Because you look at nature, nature just give, give and give, never ask for anything. Human beings, before they give, they calculate, you know, oh, got benefit or not. One other thing that nature gives to us, but we seldom appreciate nature. So you look at the teaching, nature, all of things that you receive from nature, like the water we drink, the air we breathe, all come from nature. The vegetable, the fruits, everything comes from nature. But human beings don't have that loving kindness and compassion just to give like nature. Everything just give with no condition to receive in return. That's why in the Christian teaching, they always tell you to thank God for your food. Remember? Remember? So if you have gratitude towards nature, if God is nature, then you should thank nature, which is correct. Your nature has great loving kindness. Nature just give and give. That's why nature create. From nature all come. We are all created by God. If God is nature, then the statement is true. We are from nature, you come. Born of nature. Created by nature. From the singularity. You remember? The source. The original state. 本来的面目. The origin. Everything come to be. That is what God is all about. But the interpretation has become different. People try to monopolize truth. So all this understanding, hopefully it will stimulate a little bit of your contemplative understanding or wisdom, so that you can come out of your cocoon of thought, or they call it the tempurung. Kata di bawah tempurung. You have to take out that tempurung so that you see the world, so that you can understand more things. Otherwise, you are trapped in your conditioning, your belief system, your narrow vision of what things are. They come from your conditioning. You don't have a free mind and an open mind to investigate, to understand. That's why a lot of the things I share with you, a lot of you may never heard before. And how did I know all this? A lot of this I didn't really learn this life, but some of it I learned from my teacher in this life. But most of it, the understanding that I share with you, more than 90% is all not from my teacher or this life. They didn't really have the understanding to share and teach all these things. They teach me other aspect of truth, other aspect of the teaching. But everyone is different, and they come differently. And they like fill the gap of what I want, what my nature want. Then this nature, when it hears truth, it can assimilate very fast. Then it can develop the understanding very fast. Then it know how to expand on it and use it. But a lot come from the spiritual nature from the past. Then it unfolds itself. Okay, we end. I have to go. Yeah. Rejoin. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed. Then we will share all these merits and wholesomeness with all beings, starting with the devas. Akka satta cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakkantu loka sasana itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo ibina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, the Buddha, and all the worthy ones.
To the Buddha.